setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, here we go. I'm coming to you live from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. And you have joined a conversation. A conversation about who you are. We're going to look at that in the terms of your talent, what you do best, your passion, the work you love to do, and then your mission, the results that you deeply want to create, produce, accomplish. So that's the who you are. And then we talk about what you were created to do. That's the work. All the different types of work leads to where you can do that, where you want to do it. And then how do we get there? Is the dream job a mirage or is it still available? Of course it's available. But the climb is unknown to so many, so it seems so scary. So we're going to help you with how to get there. So you figured it out right now. This show is about you. It's about purpose. It's not about politics. And we want to welcome those of you who listen from all around the globe. All around the globe, because we podcast the syndicated and SiriusXM show. So many people only know us because of the podcast, but you could catch us on SiriusXM and, of course, over 70 stations around the country. KenColeman.com to connect. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. 844-747-2577. Let's go. Josiah, I love these calls. Apparently, Josiah called about a year ago, and he's got an update, and that's what I love about this show. You're not a one and done. So Josiah joins us in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Josiah, you're back on the Ken Coleman Show.
All right. Thank you for taking my call today.
You bet. What's up?
I am calling to update you real quick on my life and what's happened.
All right.
How the Lord has been good.
Good. Tell me some updates.
So about a year ago or so, I think, and maybe a little bit longer, time goes so quick, but I called into your show, and I was looking at that point, asking you what I should do for my interpreting business that I have and how I can do that more, because that was my passion, was to launch my interpreting agency. Long story shorter, I got connected to a company that allows me to work from home at a flexible schedule, doing what I was already doing at my old job. It was a perfect connection.
Wow.
But during the pandemic, of course, they had a hiring freeze. But they had my resume, so I just followed up with them after things kind of reopened a little bit and touched base with them again. And the Lord opened the door, and I ended up going with them. So I'm at basically a dream job because my hours are flexible, but I'm also able to run my interpreting business. And, oh, I'm also debt-free now as of last week.
What?
So it's just been... Yeah, so it's just been a crazy, crazy wild year. Get married and get a new dream job and get that free. So
that's phenomenal.
Yeah,
that's phenomenal. So wait a second, I didn't realize this was a dream job. This is the dream job.
Yeah, I wanted to do a job that I could run my interpreting business, but not feel overwhelmed, feel confined.
I love it.
But I'm not really wanting to run my interpreting business full time. I just kind of wanted to be a blessing and be a job that kind of runs itself as passive income and just be a blessing to others in the immigrant community in my city. But I wasn't really wanting to do it full time. This job I'm at is perfect because it pays the bills, but I enjoy it and I love what I do, but I'm also getting to run my interpreting agency too.
Incredible. So what would you say to people? So we're going to do an impromptu dream scream, Joe. So you need to be ready.
All right.
Because this is, if he's in the dream job, he just got married, he's debt free, he's living the dream. This is a dream scream. Am I right, Josiah?
Now. As of now, I feel like I am. The Lord's been good to us. He's just
all right. So before we do the scream, I got to know from you, what would you say to folks who they're going, boy, I'd like to do that. What's the key? What do you say is the reason or a really big reason, a key that got you where you are?
For me, the number one, I'd say the number one reason what I attributed it all is to my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He's definitely been my guide in opening the doors.
Right.
But the other thing is a lot of hard work and a lot of just pushing and looking up those connections and not giving up, not getting discouraged, just praying and trusting the Lord and moving forward.
I like that.
In that.
Now, there's a key thing, folks, because you got some people listening right here that may never darken the door of a church, and they're going, okay, all right, I get the faith part. But let me tell you something. It's not just praying and believing. You got to do. And you did the doing. It's praying, believing, and doing. All right? You got to. It's not enough to pray. You got to step out. You got to do it. And I know you agree with that. And I'm really proud of you. I'm really happy for you. All right. Let's hear this, Josiah. Count us down from three. And I'm going to hear I want to hear your version, your scream of I'm living the dream. Take it away.
Three, two, one. I'm living the dream.
Yeah. That was good. We got a couple of different octaves there, and that's what we like to see. Everybody screams a little different. Way to go, Josiah. Really proud of you there. I like that. That was we saw some intonation change. We saw some voice cracking, and that to me says one thing, sheer enthusiasm. And that's what we're looking for. If you have stepped into your dream job as a result of what you've done, by listening to the show and being encouraged and equipped, again, remember to email us, ask@kencoleman.com, and put Dream Scream in the subject line. All right. So, personal brand. Now, this is a relatively new phrase. You know, I've talked about imposter syndrome. It's like just good old-fashioned doubt. Personal brand just means reputation. Right, but it's become a thing. Like you got people that don't know what personal brand is. So let me just tell you, it just means your reputation. But like we make all these things sound different. So you got a bunch of millennials, they walk around going, hey man, that's going to hurt your personal brand. And you got a Gen Xer, maybe in my generation, or a baby boomer goes, what? I'm sorry? Say that again? Personal brand? I don't know what that is. So let me just set you free. It means your reputation. But it's really, really important. Your reputation is important. It's not a new thought. But as it relates to your personal brand, this is a good exercise. And I don't care if you're in your 50s, you're going, hey, I want to transition. I'm worried about ageism. Your 40s, 30s, 20s, you're getting started. Or you're in your 30s, 40s, trying to build. Your personal brand does matter. Your reputation does matter. And so I just want to touch on this really quickly because there's a lot of stuff out there on this. And so I just want to distill this down and make this super simple. Here's what you do. First thing I want you to do is to truly assess your current reputation, your professional reputation, which is your personal brand. So a great exercise is to get alone, pencil and paper, and I want you to write out, this is what I want people to think about me and say about me as a professional. What do you want people to say about you when you leave the room? So it's really good to kind of say, this is what I want my personal brand to be, and get really clear. And think of all the categories. I want them to say this about my skills. I want them to say this about my experience. I want them to say this about my passion. So start with my talent, passion, mission, the sweet spot analogy. You know, what do I want people to say that I'm talented at? What do I want them to say I'm passionate about? What I want them to see is my mission. Get clear on that. Then you better start going to people in your workplace, people who know you professionally, and say, hey, what would you say my brand is? Ooh, got to have some courage on that because we got to see if there's alignment. And once we see where we need to fill the gap, then let's get about doing that. And that's how you grow. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Listen, folks, we talk a lot on the show about making your next career move and taking the next step toward meaningful work. But I know it can be pretty hard to think about taking a step forward when you're stressed out about money in the here and now. Ramsey Plus will show you how to budget every single dollar of your income so you can use it to its full potential, plus so much more. And here's the best part. Right now, you can try Ramsey Plus for 30 days completely free. If you're in and you want to start Ramsey Plus for free, text Ken Plus to 33789. All right, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. We are coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, 844-747-2577. This is the talk radio show, and this is the podcast. It's all about your purpose. What were you created to do? Well, I can tell you, you were created to contribute, and we talk about your contribution in the workplace. I think there's purpose that we have. Our why exists in two major areas, relational, professional. And so we talk about the professional. Thrilled to have you with us, 844-747-2577. Gretchen joins us next in Fort Worth, Texas. Gretchen, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I feel like I love my job because I do really enjoy the work that I do.
Great.
But there's no room to move up. Like, I feel like I'm at the end. And so I don't know.
You have hit the ceiling.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm in a good field. I'm in pharmacy. I'm a pharmacy technician.
Okay.
And I do med rec. So I'm in the emergency room talking to patients.
Oh, okay.
And getting a list of their home medications. And I love interacting with people. Like, I really, really enjoy it. But from last year, I think I'm kind of over it, but I don't want to give it up. But then I don't know what else I would do.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because the way you started the call, you said, I really love my work. I enjoy the job, but there's no room to move up, which implies to me that you are aware of a rung on the ladder or two rungs or three rungs up. Am I right or am I wrong?
I mean, it wouldn't be in the same position that I'm doing. It wouldn't be med rec. Like,
well, of course
not.
It'd
have to be like a technician supervisor or, you know, something else.
But. Okay. So my point is, so you kind of confused me with what you said just a moment ago. You're kind of like, well, I just don't know. Yeah, you do. You know what advancing looks like. You know what the rungs up the ladder are. And so you would stay in pharmacy. You stay in the field. But obviously, you're going to change the position or the role, if you will, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so how can I help with that? Is this about getting promoted, which is stage five of my seven stages to meaningful work?
Yes, because I do love, like, med rec,
yeah.
But there's nothing above, like, in med rec. You know, there's no, like, so med rec supervisor.
Okay, so what is, is med rec? I'm clueless on that.
So you basically you're in the emergency room, and as people get admitted to the hospital, you are the one that goes in their room and says, okay, what medications do you take at home? And I'm the one that puts that into their chart.
Okay, so what's so special about
it?
So that's great. So what's so unique about that to where you can't, you know, it's like you want to move up, but then you kind of don't. Feels like you've got some confusion going on.
I think I definitely do, because I went to college for business, but I didn't finish. And so this kind of fell into my lap, and I ended up loving it. So that's great. But
okay. No. You're going the wrong. Let me help you. I think you're going down the wrong path. You want to grow, and
yes,
you don't feel like you can grow in your current situation. That's what the problem is. You're clear on the problem. I think you're confused about how you address that. So I think what you're failing to look at is, what do I love most about what I'm doing now? So I want you to define that really quickly. Just spit it out. It doesn't have to sound great. Just blurt it out. What do you love most about what you're doing right now?
Talking to patients and being patient facing, and in a time where they're, you know, kind of distressed about being in the hospital, I can be that smiling face that says, you know, you're in the right place where you need to be.
Okay,
and
stop.
I'm part of that puzzle.
Perfect. So that's what we're looking at. How can I move up and I'm still doing that? Forget med rec. You're locking yourself into med rec. Well, I mean, again, I'm not an expert on all the different type of medical jobs, but I feel fairly confident. And also, I'm okay being wrong, so you can correct me. But I think there's got to be multiple opportunities for you to move up. And I want to know what move up is in your mind. Is that financial or is it responsibility?
Both.
Yeah, but how do you expand what you're already doing now, which is really patient-facing work?
Without, it would be something medical, like being a nurse or like a patient care technician, which I'm not.
Exactly.
I'm like, I have my foot in the door of medical, but I'm as far as I want to go, I think.
Okay, then. So now
I don't know if I want to be a nurse.
Okay, so now this is important. So you want to make more money. You say you want more responsibility, but I don't think you do. You just have to keep. See, here's my point. I don't have the answer for you because you're in a place where you've got to just keep wrestling with this. And my job is not to tell you what to do. It's for you to figure out how to wrestle through this and go, what is it that I really, really, really want? Because you're doing customer facing, same thing. You're doing patient facing work in healthcare and you like it. So the next level up from a responsibility standpoint is nursing or a PA. And you're going, no, I don't want to do that.
Well, I think it's just like the medical side, like doing like the blood and like all the bodily fluids and
no, that's not you. Thing. You're a caregiver, not a you want to inform. You want to guide a little bit on the medicine stuff, and then you want to make them feel confident and a little bit of sense of peace about that you're going to take care of this part of things.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, then. So now you've got to get outside of maybe even the hospital side of things. You've got to start really going out there and looking, okay, where am I going to be able to do that? Inform, guide, encourage, whatever. So that could be a lot of different ways. Okay. I mean, that could be working at an assisted living facility for seniors. That could be, I'm trying to brainstorm right here, but that's the work you've got to do. Because you don't want to be medical. Okay. You don't want to be putting in IVs. You don't want to be doing blood pressure. You want to be taking care of folks. So maybe it's beyond medic. Maybe it's like, is there a position at hospitals where you're kind of the check-in person, you know, and you get everybody prepared, make them feel good. Maybe it's at a specialty hospital where families are coming in. These, you know, like a St. Jude's or something, and you're just loving all over these parents who are just scared out of their mind. I mean, you just got to think about all the different ways that you can do that. And it doesn't always have to be in a medical facility. Could it be in, you know, other type of facilities where you're just loving on people? I think you just love taking care of people. And so I think you need to open up your mind. I don't think this is a lack of clarity. I think this is a lack of brainstorming on your part. This is good old fashioned. Okay. Get some people around you that you trust who have no skin in this game. Could be a girlfriend or two, a coworker, whatever. Go, hey, help me think through all the different ways I can essentially do this. But let me tell you what the breakthrough is for you. And I already gave it to you. So I'm reminding you. Then I'm going to set you free to actually get after it. When you describe to me what you love most about your current gig, that's your juice. That's what I call passion, work you love to do. When you describe that, that's what you're looking for in all the different places, okay? And then that's your ding, 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 ding moment, okay? Because passion and mission are connected. I love the work, and the result of this work also matters deeply to me. And that's that feeling, the emotion that you deliver for the patient. The way they feel after a great interaction with you, that's your jam. We're talking juice. We're talking jam, Joe. I just realized that. Maybe that's what I'm going to do. I think I discovered today, I've been long saying that when you do work you love, you feel the juice, right? Everybody knows what that means. They just get it. And callers are saying, hey, Ken, I got the juice. The mission part is when we see the work that we get the juice for creates a result that we go, oh, that matters deeply to me. It's why I'm not in sports talk radio. I love sports. I started out in sports talk. But at the end of the day, I don't want to entertain people about sports. I want to equip people. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. So I got the juice when I'm on the air. I got the juice when I'm coaching. But I got the jam when the light bulb goes off. How about that? Helping you get unstuck and then get on purpose in your work. which means you'll be on purpose in your life. This is the Ken Coleman Show. We help you get clear. That's stage one. What does that mean? It means get really clear on the role you were created to fill in your work. Stage one is get clear. Stage two is get qualified. That's how you get the ticket to the dance. And while you're getting qualified in stage two, you can be in stage three simultaneously. That's get connected. Connections. That's why I wrote the book, The Proximity Principle, which says, in order to do what you want to do, you got to be around the people that are doing that in the places where it is happening. It's about people and places. Let me just solve all of your mythical confusion about getting where you want to go. Get around the right people, get in the right places, watch opportunity just show up. It's just that simple. There, it really is. So that's stage three, get connected. Stage four, get started. That opportunity comes, it's time to walk through the door. Stage five is get promoted. That's moving up the ladder or up the mountain. You pick the analogy. Stage six is get the dream job. And stage seven, when you're on the top of that mountain, that's where I am. I'm not sitting back with a glass of sun tea on the hammock. Because now that I'm at the top of the mountain, my vision has expanded. I was looking up, 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 up. Now I'm on top. What am I doing? I'm looking out. And so we expand the vision, and you can really repeat those seven stages again. By the way, Sir Edmund Hillary, the first man to climb Mount Everest, did that very thing. He gets to the top, Joe and Madison. I share this in my new book, which comes out in November. By the way, I had goosebumps when I read this story, and I couldn't wait to write it in the final chapter of the book. So he gets to the top of Mount Everest. He's the first dude to do it, period. And he's got his climbing partner, Sherpa, with him. And just imagine, just for a moment, the struggle, mentally, physically, emotionally, just exhausted. He's at the top of Mount Everest. No one's ever been there, folks. It's the highest point in the world. He's up there and he's looking out now. And he's looking around. And not too long after he'd been on top of the peak of Mount Everest, the pinnacle, he looks and sees another mountain range and he says to his climbing partner, "That's the one we're climbing next." I get goosebumps just thinking about that. That's it. That's why stage seven is give yourself away. Notice that all six stages are get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get the dream job, give yourself away. That means you're working like no one else. It's not about money. The money's there. It's not about notoriety. That's there too. You know what it's about? Impact. Impact, impact, impact. So, there it is. There's a breakdown of the seven stages. It is possible. And I'm here to help you. I'm your guide up the mountain. 844-747-2577. Jessica joins us in New Albany, Indiana. Jessica, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet.
My husband, I have give him some credit for suggesting that I call in.
He's a good man. You need to tell him he's a good man. That's a good man right there.
So my question is, I think I'm on step five, getting promoted. I'm trying to do that now.
Good.
And I've been in my industry about 10 plus years. I'm at the company that I'm at for a little over a year. And I applied for a promotion about 6 months ago. And I know COVID, 2020, all of that been kind of harsh on everybody, but they've rescheduled my interview like six times.
What?
And I have been flexible. I've tried to, you know, say, oh, I understand, you know, things are this, things are that. And even I had to postpone once because, you know, of team reasons, my team needed me, but
okay, hold on. So that's important. They've moved it five times. You've moved it once.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, okay.
All right. What are their reasons? I want to know what they're saying every time they've moved it.
It's been a number of things. So the first time it was because our director was in another meeting. That's happened three of the five times. The one time that I rescheduled was because I was filling in for the job that I want, and my scheduled interview was at our peak time, so I needed to be there for my team to assist, you know, what they needed from me.
Okay, so you got bad scheduling on their part. Then you were filling the role, so you felt like you needed to do it. And what's the other reason?
It just didn't work. They didn't give a reason. They just rescheduled it on my Outlook calendar.
Is this the last one?
So, yes.
What are you feeling?
They just rescheduled it.
What are you feeling? And what do you? Okay, I get it. What do you want me to weigh in on? What's your question?
How do I approach it without shooting myself in the foot for this opportunity or future opportunities? So I feel like I need to, I want to express that I'm disappointed and that I'm, hoping that we can find a time.
Stop.
That you're I'm not, the priority.
All right, listen. You're not going to express that you're disappointed. You're going to express that you're excited. Hey, I know it's been moved around. I got to tell you. Recently, and I would point back to the time where you had an interview scheduled, but you couldn't do it because you were actually subbing in for the very role you're trying to interview for, right?
Right.
I would say, oh my gosh. I one of the times it's been rescheduled. I know it's been rescheduled and I know that happens, but one time I had to move it because I was doing it. And I got to tell you, it just absolutely solidified the fact that I really want to do this and I am super excited. And I'm just looking forward to it. I know our last meeting got moved, and I'm hoping we can get something on the books because, if anything, I'm more excited than I was because I actually got to experience a day in the role. That's the way you're going to present this.
Okay.
Not that I'm disappointed. That just puts them on the defensive. And there's no need to put them on the defensive. It doesn't sound to me like there's anything weird or cynical or sinister going on. Is that right? Or do you have some of that where you feel like there's a couple signs there that feel icky?
It feels as though it's not a priority. So it feels as though it's like, oh, we have to chunk out this time to interview this person because we have her for the interview. Not necessarily that they are as excited as I am.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
The potential to be promoted.
That's fair. And that might be true. It might not be. It might be 50% true. And they just got a lot going on. But are they the ones that initially said, hey, we'd like to move you into this role? Or did you raise your hand and they said, okay, let's talk?
So when I applied in September, I applied for the role. And like I said, initially got set up for the interview. I did say, how excited I was. And then when I didn't hear anything in January, I reached out and I said, hey, director, I just wanted to follow up and have a conversation with you because I am really excited about looking at this opportunity. And I want to continue throwing my hat at you to let you know that I'm, I'm interested in this position. And I'm really interested in our growth. And I got the, yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm glad that you're continuing to follow up with this and we'll try to get something on the book. And then that's where we've been.
How long ago was it that they moved the last one just on Outlook?
From March 22nd to March 29th, and then March 29th, it's been moved again till next Monday.
Okay. Let it go.
So it's continuously like a week.
I get it. But at least they didn't just erase it. They just moved it. It's next week. I would take a deep breath. True. I would take a deep breath and do not express disappointment. You just asked me, you said, Ken, that's why you called. You said, Ken, how do I not shoot myself in the foot? Don't express disappointment. Wait till next week. If it keeps getting moved and moved and moved and moved, then you can go, hey, I'm slightly disappointed that it keeps getting moved, but it's just because I'm so jacked about doing this. That's it.
Okay.
You just be amazing. You sound like a very, very nice lady. And so keep being nice, keep being hungry, but very humble, and enthusiasm always over disappointment. Always, always, always. You got this. I believe it, Jessica. By the way, Jessica, if you're willing, I'd love for you to call back in if you get this gig, because I want to talk to you about some of the emotions you're experiencing right now. I think there's a lot of people that can learn from that. Ooh, it's hard to wait, isn't it? This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey, helping you realize the dream. Isn't that a great phrase? That's kind of one of those common phrases, been around a long time, realize the dream. And if you kind of say it really quick, and then you kind of go, wait a second, let me just break that word down. I want to realize. I want to make the dream a reality. That's what realizing the dream is, and we're going to help you do that here on The Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. It is your show. It's a toll-free number to jump in, 844-747-2577. You're one phone call away from clarity, which will give you confidence and courage. A person who's clear can then be confident, and a confident person will summon the courage when necessary. Let's go to Spencer in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Spencer, you're on The Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for having me.
You bet. What's going on today?
I recently moved to Oklahoma City, and I still work remotely out of Houston since COVID began. And I'm looking at possibly needing to go back in a couple months if things keep clearing up. So I've been applying to jobs here in Oklahoma City, and I haven't really been having much luck landing any interviews. So I was trying to get some advice.
Yeah, sure. Tell me what you're doing. When you say you're applying, tell me exactly what that looks like.
I'm on LinkedIn a lot, checking applications, making sure they match what I currently do, and then just applying. I know a couple people in Oklahoma City, so I've messaged some people, but haven't really had any.
Okay, when you messaged a couple people you know in Oklahoma City, where did you message them? Via text, cell phone, or LinkedIn, or social media, what?
Because on LinkedIn.
Yeah, listen, brother, that's the problem. Okay, I'm just going to shoot you really straight. You're not applying the right way. You are playing the professional lottery. People think, well, I'm going to go on LinkedIn. And by the way, I'm a fan of LinkedIn. I think it's a great resource. But to really use LinkedIn properly is to understand that LinkedIn is about information, not true connection. And let me give you an example. Do you get lots of email requests, or do you get lots of messages on LinkedIn?
No.
Okay, I do. Most people who do, I got to tell you something. I don't treat LinkedIn messages or things like that like it's a real thing, like it's a real email. I just don't. I don't have time.
Okay.
So here's what LinkedIn's great for: information, not connection. You got your LinkedIn connection. Okay. You're linked to all these people. I get it. It's in the name. But you shouldn't just rely on sending a message via LinkedIn. Here's the deal. You may be connected to three or four different people, but it's LinkedIn. It's too impersonal. But I wrote in the proximity principle to develop a web of connections. But this is real life. So here's what I'm doing. I'm going on LinkedIn and I'm going, oh, I want to reach out to this person, this person, this person, which you did. Then you sent them an email on LinkedIn and they haven't replied. True or false?
True.
Why haven't they replied? What do you think?
Like you said, it's impersonal, or
they don't even know you.
Check LinkedIn. Yeah.
That's why. Now, let me tell you what you do. So you take the concept of LinkedIn, but we're going to actually be a human being about this. And we're going to go, who do I know that knows this person? Okay. And the information many times is right there on LinkedIn. So you don't send a email to the person you actually want to talk to. You go connect to the person you know. And it's actually a real phone call, or drop by their office, or an email or whatever. And you say, hey, I see on LinkedIn that you know this person. How well do you know them? How do you know them? They tell you. And if they know them well enough on a personal level, you say, would you be willing to connect us? Send a connector email or a text. Say, hey, I got a friend, Spencer, really sharp guy, wants to connect with you briefly. And I told him you'd be happy to do it. Do you see the difference in that?
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
That's how you do this. And stop applying cold until you have at least tried to make a connection. I know you only know a few people in Oklahoma City. Let's do a little fun exercise. How many people do you know personally in Oklahoma City? Give me a ballpark number.
Let's say 20.
Okay. How many people do you think each of those 20 people know in Oklahoma City?
Could be maybe 100 or more.
Now that's how we build a web of connections. So your game is, I'm going to reach out to all 20 people that I know personally, and I'm telling them, I have applied at XYZ, ABC company. Do you know anybody personally that works at those companies? Well, yeah, I know this person. Would you be willing to vouch for me with them and connect me? Or would you be willing, you know, so that I can talk with them? And then you talk to me, go, hey, listen, I'm just trying to get in at your company, and I wanted to meet you so that you knew I was a real person, not an alien with, you know, four eyeballs. And I've got a lot of experience here. I'm doing this now. And I'm just wondering if you'd be willing to take my resume and walk it into, I've already applied online, so I've done all the right stuff. But would you take my resume and walk it into the hiring manager and vouch for me? Now, that most people don't do that, because that involves actually putting in some effort. And I don't want to knock on you, Spencer, or anybody else, but I'm just going to keep it real. People feel like they're doing a great job and putting a lot of effort out when they send 35 resumes via LinkedIn. You know why? Because it's so quick. It's digital and quick, and I put it in there. But the problem is, a resume without a relationship is almost worthless. So, Spencer, get your head up. Mm-hmm. Don't be discouraged. The good news is you're doing it wrong. The bad news is you're doing it wrong. Okay? So I want you to go to my website right now. I'm putting you on hold. In fact, you can hang up on me. Go to my website, kencolman.com, and I want you to download the resume guide and then the how to win the interview guide. These are free resources that will allow you to change what you're doing and teach you to do it the right way. Also, Amanda, he's still on the line. Give him a copy of my best-selling book, The Proximity Principle. Folks, there's a reason why I wrote that book. It is the success principle. It is the principle that will get you from A to B to C all the way to Z. All the way. Successful men and women, I don't care what field they're in, they all use the proximity principle. And it's very simple. In order to do what you want to do, fill in the blank, you got to be around the right people. People that are doing what you want to do. They've got knowledge, they've got wisdom, and more importantly, they've got connections. Stop acting like the only way you get ahead is kicking down an iron door. That's all garbage. That's movie stuff. Fact of the matter is, all successful women and women understand getting around the right people and in the right places is where opportunity comes. If I was going to catch a train today from Nashville to anywhere, and I didn't have a ticket, but I knew I needed to catch a train, anybody want to take a guess as to where I would go? I would go to the train station. Some of you are going, Ken, that's pretty simple stuff. I know! If I want to move into a professional field, or I want to move up in a professional field, where would I go? I would get around people that are doing the work up above me that I want to do. I would get in places where those people are gathering or where that work is happening so that somebody notices me. That's the proximity principle. The right people plus the right places equals opportunity. I meet people all the time. They'll call the show. I meet them in real life. They go, Ken, I just can't catch a break. And inevitably, as I begin to ask them what they've been doing, guess what I find out? They're not around the right people, and they're not in the right places. Let me explain the magic of timing. It's not, oh, he was in the right place, and the right time happened, like it's just some luck from heaven that dropped out. Let me tell you what it is. You get in the right place, you get around the right people, and guess what happens? The right time comes along. But if you're not in the right place around the right people, the right time will not show up. All right, folks, that's going to do it for me. Before I sign off, remember, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.